Enjoy the show. Play on my singer.
Here I am. Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. How are you guys doing tonight?
A lot better than I have been. The beginning of this year, I had like life gremlins following me around and just kind of throwing wrenches wherever they could. Just like when we tried to have you on the first time. I lost my voice after that too. And I tried whatever bug is going around. I got it. I lost my voice. Frank knows because we tried to do a Dungeons and Dragons podcast and I couldn't release it. I'll say because that's one of my pet peeves is audio. And
yes.
If I can't watch it, I feel like they can't watch it.
All right. I'm at the tail end of that myself. So if I sound a little froggy, it's because I no longer sound like B. Arthur. So I figured I was good to go for this tonight. So
B. Arthur is passable. Everyone loves B. Arthur.
Yeah, it's kind of like that deep. Right. Hey guys, mm-hmm. Thanks for having me on. You know.
So
I'll get you for that. Okay.
My first question is, what got you into podcasting? Because you are an author of a book.
I am.
Which, as I'm scrolling up through your page, here we go. Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Go-Go. And you're also your podcast as well, which I'm scrolling back down to that because I'm not a fast scroller. The podcast Learned in a Go-Go. All places
Learned in Go-Go, the podcast.
In Go-Go, yeah. Long Friday. Long Friday with a lot of long German Radio part Gaga. Numbers. So what got you into podcasting?
Frankie James invited me to be on my Crazy Exes podcast, and we had such a great time. I was like, how do I do this too? That's honestly as simple as it was, is I'm at a point in my life now where my kids are adults, and I kind of am allowing myself to do.
Really? Wow. Okay. Yeah. Wow. That's great.
He doesn't think you look
49 in 10 days.
He doesn't think you look 49. That's what that response was. I know.
Yes, I appreciate it. No, please keep telling me.
I'm thinking 33? What? You know, 32?
Oh, I thought at least around like my age. I'm 37 until May. So.
I'm sorry. I always divert to clerks. I had to say in a row. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But no, I kind of am doing all the things now because I don't feel guilty about taking time away from them to do a podcast, write a book, to, you know, it's, I'm just jumping in and I figure I'll jump off the cliff and I'll learn to fly as I go. And my first episode sounds like a book report. I tell people, please don't listen. Don't judge me by episode one. You know, I said, I'm either going to kick ass or make an ass out of myself. And I'm just going to do
it. That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Well, look. Purge Hangers and Wall Hangers has been around. We're going on our sixth year come November. But I've been podcasting for about 11 years. I'm going to cap it off at that. I'm going to feel old. But I'm going to cap it off at 11 years there of podcasting.
He says as he's 10 years younger than me, but keep
exactly.
going.
Okay. Exactly. It's all in 10 decimals of 10. But the thing that got me into it was my friend at the time, he said, look, nobody knows video game industry like you do, I want to do a podcast. And I was like, well, what's a podcast? He said, it's internet radio. I was immediately in. I was on the radio when I was in eighth grade in Philadelphia. So I've always kind of loved broadcasting. There's something that it's very, especially with podcasting, it's very much like local radio. You pop on a local radio station, you hear what's going on around you, you get all the events, and it deepens, like, oh, this person, even by me, I didn't know there was an indie comic artist in Chester. Now I know him very well. He's in my Dungeons and Dragons podcast, Aleem. You know,
I was going to say, is it Aleem? Because I've seen that podcast.
Exactly.
I've been watching episodes.
Aleem. And this podcast just stumbled out of my normal podcasting. I was podcasting. We were doing the Great Media Comic Con last year, and all of the Triforce podcast members most of them were part of the con. So we kind of fell out of that, and I wanted to keep podcasting. So my podcast partner from there, Katarina Thermascara, call her my wonderful woman. We had the podcast Matt and Kat Show. And we were having fun talking about nerdy stuff. And then we were like, you know what? Why don't we get Frank on?
He don't know shit. You know, I was like,
life stuff happened. I messaged Frank like, hey, Frank, you want to do a podcast? And that's where Tales of the Hunted came from. And it turned into this interview podcast. Like, somebody called me a journalist the other day. And I was like, what are you talking about?
That sounds like a grown-up word. Don't call me.
I'm a podcaster. What is that? Ew, journalist.
Well, I want to know more about how you're on the radio in Philly in eighth grade. Like, how does that happen?
So when my brother and I, we used to live here in Delco, but our parents bought a house, or well, had a house made, rather, in Chester County. So we moved out to Chester County, and out there, it's all farmland and country until they can, you know, keep that building process going. And make it a suburb. There's hope. But
we don't need plants to eat or anything. It's okay.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. You'll 3D print whatever you need. But there's lots of farmland and there's nothing to do. It takes 15 minutes just to get to a Wawa or any kind of like Giant. So you're driving. So we would listen to WMMR all the time. And then when Raz was on the radio, which I am working on getting Raz on this podcast, it's not hard. I've had to actually just check my company email when I send out emails, like, I'm sure you know, maybe I can get you on. And it's I don't pay attention to emails because it's mainly spam, but then I look back and I got a reply. I was like, oh my god. And then there was another reply like, Matt, did you get my message? Like, no I didn't at all. Sorry, Raz. But we called in and we always had this funny stoner voice, like, oh, man, I forgot. And we called in as two stoner brothers. When we called in, we thought they asked, what song do you want to listen to? And we said, Truckin' from the Grateful Dead.
Truckin', yep, of course.
They actually asked us, he said, what's your name? And he thought I said Chuck. So
became Chuck.
I was Chuck. There was a parts guy. God bless his heart. He's an older guy. He called me Mark until a new guy corrected him. Like,
that's so funny.
I'll be Mark. Whoever you need me to be, buddy. You want me to be Jim Bob? I'm Jim Bob. That's Jim hilarious. Bob tonight. So we knew we would always drive this house by us. They had this mailbox and the name of the family were Stoners. So Chuck and Charlie Stoney became in Philadelphia, you know, around 2001, 2002-ish.
Okay.
And I recently got some audio. I might even actually release some audio in the end credits of this podcast when I release it, because it was a big thing. We had Tasty Cake go to Raz. It was when you could get, if you found the green filling in the Tasty Cake, you got a chance to meet Donovan McNabb. So they asked WMMR, they said, hey, we want the Stoner Boys to try to find the green filling, but they keep looking for the wrong things, like a hot dog or, you know, a green tasty cake. And they're like,
right.
You know,
not the
all
filling,
these,
but the
all,
cake.
Yeah, all these weird things. And that was like from Tasty Cake. So, and then even in another one, we got nominated for a National Radio Award. So I had a lot of broadcasting experience when I'm in like eighth, ninth grade. I had CDs of this, of all the stuff that we did, and I still have them. And I'd take them in, and I had all these copies made, and nobody wanted them. I had one kid broke it in front of me. You know, I mean, there was a lot of hate there. But when I got into podcasting, I had my friend saying it's like internet radio. So at that point, I know radio. And
that's pretty cool.
We went along. We did game content and, you know, just regular content creation on YouTube. A couple different podcasts. Did over like 150, you know, episodes with him. Fell out as a friend because life happens. And, you know, some of your friends aren't there for the entire ride.
For a season and some are for a reason. So,
yes.
Yep.
So when I moved back to my house, because I was living with him and his fiance at the time, I had moved back home.
Ooh,
and
uncomfortable.
My brother had bought this place. So we spent a year fixing it up. And in November, that's curiously also the Projangers and Wallhangers anniversary. That's when it all started with a car ride. And if people go to our Spotify, you can actually go all the way back, because obviously YouTube and the video podcast is all out there. But if you want to listen to the very start, you can. The podcast number 9 is me and my podcast partner, Chris. I was driving him to go pick up his car from a mechanic. For some reason, was 45 minutes the hell away. And like, this is your mechanic. You couldn't find anybody closer. So,
A for loyalty.
It started off with that, but I did podcast with him in the past, and I knew anytime I would talk to him on the phone, I had to plan it out because it was a podcast. When you talk to somebody, you're like, I feel like I should be recording this.
Absolutely.
I really feel like, do I hit record now? You know, and I have some of that stuff as well. It's with time, you'll gain the experience to kind of navigate the waters to where there's a big project that Purjangers and Wallhangers is cooking up. I told Frank about that. I'm so excited to announce. I'm actually going to announce it when I have the man on. I'm recording with him on Monday. But nice. There's a really big opportunity, and through connections that I made in podcasting, it made it happen. So 6 years, I'm starting to get traction with, you know, all projects that we started. So, you know, it's to have a passion is all you need, really, to make a podcast go. You have to just want to be in it. Most people don't want to talk at length.
Right. Yep.
So for you, I see how inspiring you are. And I know.
There you go.
So
the way you said about interviewing, I did my first interview podcast is episode 6. And I had so much fun. And like, mm-hmm. I'm just really looking forward to interviewing more people, because I went with it. And I think I did a good job, you know, not to,
right.
But I really think it came out awesome.
Go for it,
so.
You know,
it's absolutely nice to have that feeling, especially 6 podcasts in, you get a good one, especially an interview. I got to tell you, that's impressive, because especially for me, it took, man, my first interview was technically when I went live at Comic Universe, and it was the owner, this guy, Frank Link. This guy was the longest owning comic book store in Ridley. It's still there. It's still there, but it's just owned by another guy who's super cool. Frank Link was the first. I got to reach out to Chris, because we had this awesome idea for a podcast. We were going to do A Tale of Two Franks and have Frank Percy and Frank Link. So maybe I should reach out to Frank Link. I could still like make Frank's this tale of two Franks. Oh, I can make this happen. I'm so excited.
Well,
so,
we're the exact same shirt going in, but that's about it. You know?
There we go. That's it.
Yeah, do all the things. That's what is so great about this time that we're living in. Like, the years of, I get a job, I work there 35 years, I get a gold watch, I retire, I die, are over. Like, you can start a new career at 40 years old. Who the hell cares? Like, just do it. And, you know, I've tried so many things. I've fallen on my face. Who cares? I try the next thing, you know?
Get up and do it again. Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
And that's the thing. It's success doesn't just, you know, come like the grace of God. You have to work at it. And
you have to learn. Cut you off, but you can measure success in different ways, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people, I talk about that in my book. There's a lot of people who only consider you're successful if you make a certain amount of money. But to me, if I'm happy, I'm successful, man. Like, that to me is what I need in my life.
Yeah.
You know? So I love that.
Happiness is the ultimate. I feel it's the ultimate goal, because everybody's, you know, they strive for happiness. Why are you trudging through that day job? Well, it's because I have a passion, whether it be your family, and wanting your family to do better, whether it be betting on yourself, like I do, like Frank does, like so many creative people and yourself do. Betting on yourself is one of the best things that you can do. Like, if you recognize, like, hey, I actually might have a talent for this and a passion that is outside of my day job, and it brings a lot of joy. Like, the one I will release the Dungeons and Dragons episode. I'm going to be getting to that. It's just so many people want to be on the podcast. I don't have time. I got a project to do for Frank. He's just understanding. Because he's right here and he sees. Oh, he's clearly busy.
Frank's got projects himself, so he can't really hold it over somebody else's head.
There you go. That's fair. That's fair. And we all have the digging ditches trudging through to make the bills. Like, you know, very few of us make it to where it's like, you know, but you need to realize that there's a pendulum. Like, it swings into the season of suck, and then everything seems to be like, and then it swings back, and it's like, yay. So you have to be willing to push it real far that way to get the real yay. Because you can hang out in here, and, you know, everything's just kind of like, well, I'm paying the bills, and I'm doing, but you don't really get any real joy.
Right.
Because you're not really getting real pain.
If that mediocre.
Exactly.
Yeah, that middle one. Yeah, so you want that better and above. So sure, absolutely. That's a really nice way of putting it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, a nice thing that I actually saw it today. It's almost serendipitous that it popped up on my feed. Because I knew I was going to have you on. It was a quote from Chief Red Eagle. Angry people want you to see how powerful they are. Loving people want you to see how powerful you are. That really spoke to me because, as you know, I love to build people up. Even the conversation that I had with Aleem over Messenger, I'm not sure if it was in the writer's room or Frank or personal message, but I was like, dude, you know, I just try to build people up. He said, yeah, a lot of people say that, but you guys actually do it.
Like,
Phong. Fucking hit me, dude.
Watch it right in the field, man.
You know, to hear that from a friend, you know, and especially a new friend. Like he mentioned to me, I couldn't imagine that I've met so many new friends this late in my life. And to a point, I understand that because you've had a set of friends, you know, you have a way of doing things. And when you actually expand outward, all the people who are just as supportive, it's like a comforting blanket when you need it. Like infamously, when I just lost my friend, Stan Ringgold, the people who commented on my post were my previous guests and my teacher. Like that meant so much to me.
I'm sorry, I didn't see your post, so I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. But it meant so much to me that I'm reaching out and I'm having these people on. Hey, I want to have you back on. Friend request. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, they do want to be back on. And I'm 100% willing because I want everybody else to see how great that person is. It's one of the things that is a blessing of podcasting. It's something that even me and Frank, we all of us are on the same eye in that if we build everybody else up, we're all going to be better for it.
Sure. Yep. And the guest that I had on for my interview, Artemisia, she said that. She's like, when the tide comes in, all ships rise. Like, we're all here to support each other. And I like that analogy of, like, you know, we can all – success is not pie. Like, just because you have this piece doesn't mean that there's not enough for somebody else. Like, we can all be successful and we can all help each other. And I feel great when I, like, see somebody that I know is killing it. I'm like, yeah, I will be your biggest hype lady. Like, I'm back here cheering you on. I love it.
Oh, I see you, miss. I see you. I see you. I see the hype train. And that's what makes it. Because when, like, even as simple as a like, because one like is, it's easier to actually pay attention to the post, to the video, to whatever you're putting out, than none. So, this says three likes. Oh, it has three likes. I'll click on that. Now, that was good. That's a fourth. You know, just that kind of, you don't know who you're talking to when you do these podcasts. So, overall, just trying to have a positive blanket is usually a good safe bet.
Yes, absolutely. You can't lose being a positive person. You know, like it just raises the vibrations for everybody. So, I'm all about that.
I'm all about the description of like anger is energy, you know, positive and negative. So if you're getting all this negative energy from your boss, from your wife, from, you know, this person, that person, traffic, there's all this kind of stress that happens in your life. It's negative energy and it affects you because you're the receptacle. Now, if you have a lot of positive energy, like offsetting, there's a lot of negative energy on the internet, and there's an algorithm that loves to push you that way. That's also where building people up, having a passion, and, you know, overall having a positive message could make someone's life, not just their day.
Exactly. And that's what I don't know if you've seen my positive affirmations I do on my Instagram every morning. I do like one every morning, and okay, I just try to start everybody's day with something happy, you know, and then
check it out now.
I will now, but there's I don't focus on Instagram. Like, I know it's like connected to Facebook, and you know,
I put them on my Sydney Facebook as well. Not my Sydney. Author. I have too many. Mm-hmm. It's at LearningGoGo is the Instagram, but I always say negative things happen, and it is also important to feel those feelings. Like, there is a total, you know, toxic positivity is a thing too, as strange as that is to say that, but you have to understand, you know, you're allowed to feel mad. You're allowed to be depressed. You're allowed to be sad, but don't live there. Like, learn the lesson. What can you gain from these feelings? And then draw upon the positive things in your life too. But don't dismiss them, because it's important that those emotions are important as well. Mm-hmm. You know, as I hate when somebody's like, yeah, well, this happened and I had a bad day. Well, chin up, you know, well, wait, now I need to be here for a second. You know, like, let me just deal. No, that person was a dick and now I'm mad. And, you know, but don't let it ruin your whole day, you know, or is the difference.
Oh, I told, I might as well say it now, Frank, because I told Frank this story. I'll tell you the best part. So when you're driving down the Blue Route, it goes out the three lanes at a portion, goes back down into two, and right down into two.
Oh, I'm very familiar, yeah.
People, not often, but frequently, will drive the shoulder. So I drive up the third lane, because that's what it's for. I merge in. I'm not a dick. I pick a guy when I'm by the end, and I merge in with him. Now, that person respects me because he's not getting passed. So that's what sets up this story. I see someone going down the shoulder. I poke my wide-ass TL out in that shoulder. The truck stays right perfect, so we are blocking him in. We got a 90-degree angle going. It is a great-looking 90-degree angle. Pythagoras would be proud. So this is the most Delco part. The driver of said van, like delivery van, beat up, like not one with pristine paint. It was it's like if I had a burn mark right here. You know, one of those Delco vehicles.
Gotcha.
Blares its horn, flashes its lights at me, and then leaves the high beams on like I was the problem. Sometimes extreme measures have to be taken for the betterment of the group. Yes. Because that person fell in line behind the truck and then continued onward. So he was planning on cutting through the off ramp, which is, like Frank said, so fucking New York. Keep that shit in New York. Do not bring that down to Delco.
Right?
You know, I mean, sometimes people can really get wild in the car, even myself.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like you have to recognize it first and then actively think. When you're in the car, all right, calm down. Stay calm. It's not that bad. Yes, they're an idiot. It's fine.
Yeah. What I found is if you yell, horn blows, does the driver, it kind of like makes me laugh and that I'm not mad anymore. So,
well, also remember that one too, you know.
Look, there's a difference because I work in the automotive industry. So when I say that, one of my coworkers is going to say, "Yeah, for the right price." So there's a difference in occupations.
It keeps the positive vibes going.
That's why I went to the automotive industry, because the work environment is generally so much friendlier and so much more positive in the right place. I have talked about how they can be toxic before, but the right companies that I've been with that have that right mixture, it feels great to go to work.
And that's important. Like, you want to go and not dread work every day. Like I said, sometimes you got to have that in the trenches job to pay the bills. But if it's something you're planning on staying at long term, you don't want it to be torture every day, of course.
I worked at a particular dealership. I don't like to say on podcast the name of it, but I felt like, and I was a service advisor, every day when I woke up, it felt like there was a hand grenade right here. That's what I told the doctor. That's a hand grenade right here. And I felt like it was going to explode at any moment. The first thing my doctor said is, you might, after hearing about what I do in my day-to-day and experience, he's like, you might want to think about a different job.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, I mean, this is my doctor saying it, so, I mean, this must really be bad. I've been in that kind of a toxic work environment before, and it does really affect you. So picking, now, I have 2 degrees. I have the luxury of having those pieces of paper, which make me a lot more attractive to an employer. People that don't have that have a severe disadvantage, and you may have to be in that toxic work environment. That's also where your passion can help ease that day-to-day. There's a lot of people that just trudge through that workday just so they could go home, spend time with their kids and their family, and impart in them the correct way of imparting things. It turns out it's not shouting at people. Who knew?
I don't know. Well, that's why Dolly Parton came out with 5 to 9. Did you guys hear that? That remake, she did 9 to 5 years ago, but then she just released 5 to 9 about doing your passion once you're out of the 9 to 5, like so that you can leave the 9 to 5 behind if you turn your passion into your career.
I might have to listen to that song now. I'm not gonna lie. You're turning me on to a lot of shit I gotta listen to now.
And I don't have a degree. Like I went to college in 93 and then I went for my freshman year and I decided to take a year off. It's been what, 30 years? I forgot to go back. So I don't have a degree. But it's because I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Now the difference,
you know, like I didn't have a passion to
the difference between us
that.
Is when I was right out of high school and I was going, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was telling my ex-fiance and girlfriend at the time. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just want to take a year off. She was like, no, I'll leave you. You either get a full-time job or you go to school. So I was like, auto career. It got my ass moving.
Yep.
You know, I stopped what I was like, all right, I really got to focus on this and what I want to do. And I wanted to help people. So, all right, let me be a mechanic. Let me learn auto body. Let me be a service advisor. And there were a lot of people, especially when I was in the service advising industry, because I was there to help you, not just beat you over the head and sell you useless work that you don't need.
That's important.
I got a lot of thank yous. And even to this day, I've heard from my friend who still works at my last service advising gig that people still ask about me, still ask for me. That's big. That's something that I was in of I did not like where I was and where I was my station there because of history that happened there. There was a lot of baggage that I had at that job that I'd shrug with me. So having those positive comments, I always look for you. You're the best guy. That means something when you're talking to a service professional. They see everything. They get yelled at. They get threatened, they get cursed at on a daily basis, you know.
Oh yeah.
And
yep. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, and not being directly in that now because I'm a parts guy, I see all this and I try to, you know, especially for new people in the auto industry, I usually try to be like a mentor to them because I had that mentor too. And having that mentality is also important as well.
Absolutely. I was just going to ask Frank what your background is. Do you have degrees or are you like me and just...
Public high school in New York City. That says it all. Yeah. I wanted to be an artist because my parents separated and my mother brought us all back to New York City. We're all from New York City, parents. And that's all I saw was art and different things of the city. And I go, wow, there was a bookstore called Forbidden Planet. Walk in there and I go, wow. And all those things that I saw growing up, I wanted to be an artist. And unfortunately, in the art class, the teacher that I had was doing like really you know, rip a page out of a glamour magazine. Let's draw this nose. Come to find out, it's been airbrushed beyond belief. I didn't find that out until like 10 years later. Didn't know that. So there's no features to draw. There's a hole and a bend on it. You know, that's it. So it really wasn't much. So I walked out with no knowledge of it whatsoever, and I had to apprentice, you know, learn it from somebody who did. It was tough. It was a lot of fun. It was hilarious nonstop with some of the artists. But that's how I learned my chops, you know. Being someone's like, hey, can you erase this, fill this in, clean these gutters up, and run it down to Marvel in 20 minutes before 5 o'clock?
That's really cool. My older daughter is actually a junior. She's going to college for animation. So
Nice.
That's why I'm like curious, you know, very, very proud of her.
Oh, super nice. Yeah. I mean, Everything is nowadays. I mean, so animated from, 3D CGI, characters that are actually a live action movie, but certain spots or certain shots are like CGI, you know, so that's fantastic.
And there's a big market for that, especially now, looking in just what you see in the streaming market. My cousin, Carl Dunan, was actually an animator on Midnight Gospel, the Duncan Trussell animated series. So
okay.
He was working for Titmouse, and he ended up getting to work on this. And I get to see, oh, that's my cousin, you know? So having that just as a family member, but also realizing, like, animators are very valuable. I know that because when I did Tales of the Morgue, Unfortunate Deaths and Unfortunate Ways, that Russian animator was still extremely expensive. That's why they were only like 2 minutes. Like,
boom. Oh, sure. Yep.
You know, but that's a valuable talent. That when I was talking to Corey Castle, we had this moment of like, dude, I've always wanted somebody to like get to a that pinnacle, that level to where a fan or somebody like animates my podcast. Like a moment, a funny moment. Like that would be the perfect thing. So there's a big market for that animation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she's really talented. So I'm like, don't maybe fly, you know?
Awesome.
So yeah, it's really cool. I was just curious, you know, what your backstory was too. And I know like what I paid for cover art, like it's, you can make a good living, you know, and it's worth every penny because art is priceless, you know, people's talent. I couldn't draw it. So.
Oh, yeah, me either. Yeah. But the book, I saw it was pretty much available out there wherever you can buy the book. Are you going to be looking into an audio version?
I would love to make an audio version. And now that, because I want to narrate it, you know, maybe it's.
As you should.
I'm conceited. But no, it's my voice.
It's not
and
conceited.
There's a lot of-
it's your book. People want to hear you read your book. I am
right,
a
and
big
there's a lot of Sydneyisms in there, so I don't think people could read it the way that I would say it because
exactly. You
know I'm the smartassness and stuff like is you had to be there.
There's certain
to get it across.
Mannerisms and way you inflectuate your voice when you say things when you're talking about a memory. That's why, especially with books, I'm with Rogan on this one. I want to hear the author because
absolutely.
It gives a depth. I'm hearing you speak. So now, as a fan, I hear you're in my town. I'm more willing to go out and visit you. Like, hey, man, I love your book. This is great. You know, it's that it's adding an onion layer.
Where are we going to find you? Where are we going to find you? What conventions, cons? Where are we going to find? Where can they? Where can they be? Where can you be hunted? You know, to get your book.
Tell me, where can I sign up to be hunted? I'm looking for ideas. I've been asking people. I need book fairs. I need, you know. Get me into Barnes & Noble. But I will be at Great Media Comic-Con, but not as the author. I'm super happy to talk about my book. I will have copies in the trunk of my truck if you want to buy some. but I'm not officially there for that. So I don't want to plug it like
right.
I am and be disingenuous.
But hey, having your product on hand, if somebody wants to buy your book, is
it
you?
It's you.
I walked around. So funny story. I met Frankie at the Camp Out for Hunger for MMR.
Oh,
that's how we connected. And I showed up with a bag with a couple books And I'm like, I'm just going to, because I had sent copies to everybody at Preston and Steve when I first published it last year. I'm like, please read it. I sent it to News, you know, Fox 29, like all the people that I watch every day. I'm like, please, you know, I want to share with you, kind of thing. So I went to the camp out and I had a couple, and I met Danny Briere. I gave him a copy. Like, I am the biggest guerrilla marketer. I have bookmarks. Let me grab them. This is the old one. I have them with my QR code. I leave these in ladies' rooms, in trucks, like in rest stops, in like, because if you're a woman and you're in the bathroom and you're sitting there, you're going to get bored and you're going to want to know what this QR code is about.
Really?
That's, so, that's really good. That's great.
Brilliant. Yeah. So I will like come up, and I went to the live concert with the goal of getting my book in Ed Kowalczyk's hands. And I did.
That's awesome.
He posted a picture of me and him and my book on his Instagram. Like, I am not shy about, hey, I would love to give you a copy, you know, like if mm-hmm. it's somebody that can talk about it and help get me out there. But I'm having trouble getting traction for things like I went to a book fair in Collingswood in Jersey, and Angelo Cataldi and Mike Missinelli were there. And, you know, like we exchanged information and stuff, but I haven't been able to find resources for where to go as an author to get my book out. So that's why like the podcast helps with that as well. Having my own and being a guest is like,
well, I would say
continue
doing what you're doing, because cross podcast promotion really matters, because when that person you're cross promoting, somebody in their friend group says, oh, hang on, let me check this out. Even if it's one person, that's how you gain the audience. I've always looked at podcasting as it's not something to make money. It's something to do because you love doing it. It brings you joy. And hopefully you help somebody at the other end. But overall, it's entertainment. And it to just automatically assume, oh my God, I've been doing this for like 6 weeks and I'm not making any money. That's the wrong way to go about it. You have to have passion about it. So going to other people who have that passion, hey, I got a book. I'd love to be on your podcast. You know, even just me finding out from just reaching out to people that I want to be on my podcast, it's like, oh my God, I got this guy on. This is so great. You know, it's really putting yourself out there, I think, is enough, and that people will see you and say, I need to learn more. I need to know how a preacher's daughter pole dances her way to finding her true self. It's a,
yes.
As far as marketing, that's a great tagline.
You know what I'm saying? It's a great story. And my website is learnedingogo.com. Like, I'm trying to make sure everything's learned in GoGo so it's easy to find, you know, because my name, I stripperized it when I picked Sydney. So that's why it's S-Y-D-N-E-E, you know, like you have to have, I didn't have the I with the heart. So I went with the E-E, you know.
Solid choice, you know. Yeah. Hey, you GoGo Pajangers, it's only us. So, you know, there's a smart marketing, you know, thought there. You know, hey,
yeah.
I have to be a little bit different. You know the name Sydney, but E-E.
Exactly. Double E. But that's why I'm enjoying the podcast, is because I love sharing fun information. I love helping people. That's why I do my positive affirmations every day. And they're live, so they're sometimes a trip. I've had my dogs knock my tripod over in the middle, you know, and I've always been very... I'm me. I might just screw this up royally and we're all just going to laugh about it. Who cares? Like, I'm just going to throw it out there and have fun. And that's, you know, some of the stories I tell in the book are about times when I did that on stage in front of, you know, like a room full of people, and I wound up on my ass on the floor. Like, stuff happens and you got to just enjoy your life and try to learn as you go and share your knowledge. You have to be teachable, but you also have to be willing to help those coming up as well.
Yeah. So that's an important bit of knowledge, is to be coachable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why, like, I also talk about, I still dance once a week for a workout. So, you know, it's me and the cleaning lady. We go in before the bar opens and just like, I bring my iPod and plug it in. You know, it's an important part of who's made me now, that when I was growing up in the church, I never saw coming. So it's kind of like connecting that But it's also kind of like, are you guys familiar with Wicked?
Not familiar.
The Broadway play?
Oh, Broadway. Yes.
Okay. Right. It kind of has some of that, how sometimes bad things happen in the quote unquote good places, but then you have good experiences in the quote unquote bad places. Mm-hmm. So it kind of has that angle as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, from what I've experienced, it's you have to know the person that you're interacting with, especially understanding that that person is just a ball of trauma that whoever fucked them up just left you with, okay, in any given moment. So
thank you, Matt. That's a very reasonable assessment, I have to say.
You know what I mean? Somebody fucked this piece of paper up, and they're like, here, you deal with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, we all have our own traumas. You know, like, nobody's gone through life without having something happen to them in some capacity.
The worst thing to happen to you is the worst thing to happen to you. Oh, my God, this is the worst day. Dude, the worst thing to happen to me today, which actually means I was having a pretty good day, I was going to the bathroom at work, and they have this heavy metal door, and I swung it, and I realized it was too hard, so I go to put my finger in the way, and I just slam the tip of my face, the very tip.
That hurts. Yeah.
That was the worst thing. That hurt. That hurt a lot. Hurt,
yeah.
Oh my God. Yep. I'm fine though. I'm fine. The finger is still it typed out fine.
They'll need a fingerectomy. You good?
No, I need a bacchiotomy, but the fingerectomy is, you know, that's on hold, at least for now. No, I've slammed these hands in car doors to where my pointer fingers are actually tilted.
Nope. Yeah, I got them too. Mine are.
You do shit in life. Childhood. Yeah, you do shit with the hands, and it shows. You know.
But absolutely.
That's also why I'm not a mechanic anymore. I saw that guy with those arthritis hands and the hunchback, and he's pulling out transes like in an hour. I was like, yeah, I don't want to be that guy.
No. No, but good mechanics are very valuable. I had a friend that fancied himself a mechanic, and I made the mistake of letting him work on my car. This was back teenage years. And everything was either, it didn't matter what was wrong with your car, it was the brakes or the distributor cap. So I let my brother borrow my car, who may or may not have had a license at the time. And when I got it back, I started it, and it just took off. And it would not, I'm hitting the brakes and nothing, you know, I'm like, Jesus, get into a parking lot, pull the emergency brake, shut it off. Cause like it was not stopping. So my friends got my engine onto the distributor cap. And I look under the firewall, had fallen on my accelerator. I said, put my engine back together. There is nothing wrong. Child. So that is why I to this day carry a roll of paper towels in my car to prop up the firewall should it ever fall onto my accelerator again. Cause I am teachable.
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe a new car, but, you know.
Well, that was my 77 Skyhawk.
Okay, fair enough. But
I bought that from a teacher, and it said honk please on one side. It said the love machine across the other side. The first time I got pulled over in it, the cop laughed his ass off at me and then called for backup to come and laugh at my car.
And I'm sorry, you bought that from a teacher?
Taxes $100.
That's it, you know. Please,
I had my car.
I don't care. I laugh at my shoes.
I had $100 car as well. I bought an '89 Cutlass Sierra. Okay, now there was on the driver's side rear door. You could actually reach your hand in and wiggle your fingers into the cabin because a deer tackled the car. This is what my buddy told me when he was selling me this car. He said, the deer tackled the car. I said, how does a deer tackle a car? He said, well, the rear sway bars broke in half. I was fine with this purchase. My mother was with me and co-signed on this purchase for a $100 car. So I had a buddy who fancied himself a mechanic as well. And to drive around, because I was the friend who had his own car now.
Yes.
We had to make this work. So he was like, dude, we got to fix the sway bar. I was like, well, how do we do that? Replace it? He's like, no, duct tape. So
Tape and snot glue. You can fix anything on a car.
We would go to, we had like a little piece of sheet metal and it was flimsy as shit. It might have been like something we found on the side of a road and duct tape. And we could tell when the duct tape snapped because then the whole car would sway like this as you're driving and accelerating. And then it would be me and my buddy and his brother. And I would be yelling at this kid, like, sit in the middle. And he'd sit in the middle and it'd kind of be safe and be like, all right, see, it's a normal sway now.
Wow.
I drove it like that until there are on suspension. Okay. There are these cross members that literally keep your axle attached to the car. I drove it until one of them snapped in half. And then the other one had like literally a finger length left. I know this because as I'm playing video games on my TV, my dad comes up to me and says, let me show you something. I know from experience, this is going to be a learning lesson. Yes. He said, I want you to get under that car. I want you to see what I did to fix this. He put a steel tube. I don't know how, but he got the fit around the sway bar, welded it. He took like an inch thick steel plate and welded it to the cross members. He's good, and he says to me, you could drive to work where I worked at Wawa. So that was a 20-minute drive. Probably safe. You could drive to work.
Probably.
And you could drive home. That's it. I ended up getting a whole rear assembly, probably used for like a couple hundred bucks at the time. And I drove the balls off it until I sold it to his friend. And I fancied myself a person who could hook up cars with systems. So I had the aftermarket CD player in there. And he was like, hey, he's telling me the headlights don't work. I was like, take it to a mechanic. I don't know. I had electrical tape and a lighter.
There you go. Well, you can MacGyver lots of things that way. But that same friend that I had put my system in, and it was like great until I hit a bump, and then I had no music anymore until I hit another bump. So I finally took it to an actual like person that put stereo systems in. Their question was, how drunk was this dude when he put in your stereo? That's what they asked me because it was so bad. I'm like, okay,
sorry, God.
We're not going to ask him for car favors anymore. But so, that's just, it teaches you, you get what you pay for.
Yes.
You get what you pay for.
You really do. If you take your car to Jiffy Lube, there's a chance he doesn't tighten the oil plug. And you may be getting a free engine.
Right.
But that engine was installed by Jiffy Lube. So,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, I had to get a new engine twice. Mm. Oil's important, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure your engine has enough of it. I love Camaros, like 84 to 91 style. That's mm-hmm. I love them. They're my favorite. I've had three. Oh.
84 to 91 Ew. Camaro is a really great car. My brother and I do lug nuts, as you've seen. So, yeah, that's I like your car choice. Very nice.
Thank you. Yes, I've had an 84, an 85, and a 91. But I had to replace the engine in one, and I took it to Pep Boys because I didn't know. And I think it was like $1,700, and I paid for it in ones. Because when you're a dancer, you got a lot of dollar bills. And you should have seen their face when I'm like, it's legal tender. That's what I got. So I had to sit there while they counted out like $1,749 in ones.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to lie. That's a tall order. That's a tall order. But you want the money. There it is.
Exactly. I'm paying you.
That's your job. The final part. Yep. Count the money.
Right.
Yep. Are you a waitress? Yeah. Wink. That's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Tips, you know?
Sure, I'm waiting on you to count these ones. I'm a waitress.
Hurry the hell up. Well, let's go. Wow. Wow, that's funny. That's hilarious.
Have your money ready, folks. Have your money ready. But
exactly. And that's what's interesting, like just side note, because things pop in my head and come out my mouth. But inflation has happened in so many other areas, but people will still give a dancer a dollar bill.
Yes.
And that's been going on how many decades now? Like, one.
Probably one of the oldest professions.
I would think so.
Because people love entertainment. So absolutely. In all of the definitions of that, there's always been a market, you know, supply and demand. I failed absolutely. Economics, but, you would think but I learned that. That.
Mark up, you know, like at least, and that's what I used to tell the guys.
They want you to keep dancing, so that dollar is just long enough. So they only got like maybe $50. So if they gave you, 50,
yeah, that's it.
You'd stop dancing. You know?
But that's right. What I mean. Like, you know, okay,
keeps the whole show going. That's all. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, come on, dude. You know, like you've been staring.
It's also
you know,
rude to love, throw like, change. So. You know,
and you know, I've been hit in the head with a lime wedge. Like people are dicks, and what? I had one guy because you go for the three, you know, the one, two, three, and I went for the three, and you can't see unless you're Linda Blair what's going on behind you. Hmm. So I like went to walk away. It was a freaking Burger King receipt. Are you kidding me? A Burger King receipt to the crack. That's just rude.
And it wasn't even a good place. Burger King, really?
Yeah.
Out of all the receipts, you could give her a Lowe's receipt. Like, construction. Yeah, I had it on hand.
You know, have it your way is not. No.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. A receipt from a fat, lazy slob. Thank you. That meant a lot. Thank you for your trolling.
That's his karma.
Yeah. I enjoy it. I got to say, I wasn't a real podcast until I got a dislike. You know, on YouTube, it really affirms like, okay, those are real.
A year ago, it came up in my memories when I got my first hater for an ad about my book, and they were like, "You're just a nasty pole dancer." I was like, "Yes, my first hater. I'm legit now." Like, I was so excited. Like, good. You shouldn't have everybody like you.
Give me a few more. You know, that's all I wanted. You know,
just tell everybody how much I suck. Like, just because there's no bad publicity.
Yeah. If everyone is telling you, like, oh, my God, you're so great, you suck.
Exactly.
You suck. Yeah. Like, everyone said, oh, my God, no, you're doing amazing. They're not even watching. They're just turning their head. Like,
exactly. They're just trying to, like, pat you on the head. Like, here you go. Yeah. You know? No. That's why I was like, literally, like, cracking up. Like, yes. It happened. So.
I'm going to screenshot this image and put it right on my fridge.
Yeah, exactly. I have a little frame, you know. Yeah. It's like when I got my bartending license and I have my first dollar bill, you know, I can have. And this is my first transcript of my first podcast is in here. Frankie made it awesome. For me.
Okay.
So
that's awesome. I also have framed my tie that they cut because it's a tradition when you sell cars, they cut your tie when you sell your first car. So I have the cut portion of the tie in. A frame.
A good tie?
All right. So what happens with women?
It was a Lord and Taylor tie.
No. Not Lord and Taylor.
I didn't know I was going to sell a car, Frank.
I get it.
It was a tie either Steve or my dad gave me. I was like, I don't know. Like, oh. And then I mentioned it to one of the sales managers. He gave me $40. Like, all right. This is cool. I'm not buying another tie, but I feel compensated now for my grief. On the free tie.
So
are
the women also wearing ties or do you cut? What happens?
No, it was very sexist. It was just the guys that got their son of a bitch.
I'm just picturing like blouses getting like.
Oh, you can't do that. Yeah, no. HR would have.
I'm like, what do you do with the women? I don't understand. Okay, yeah. I gotcha.
HR in most dealerships, actually pretty on point. Pretty on point. Okay. I got told at my last car dealership job, this is a breaking story, a breaking memory. at my last job, one time I got told I was not empathetic enough.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm direct. I'm not going to put up with your bullshit. So, they may have something there. But the other time I got taken into the office with the head of HR and the service manager because I wasn't allowed to tell this woman who was incredibly annoying. One of those people who it's like they don't. Fucking stop. And she's like, I don't know. What do you think about this? And I said, I think you should sit the fuck down and do your fucking job. And apparently, you're not allowed to say that at work.
Gotcha.
Who knew? Wow. I'm it learning so much.
My older brother, when we were growing up, like I grew up in Jersey, so the gas stations are all full serve. And he was a gas attendant. And the guy that owned that gas station owned all of them on the strip. So there was no HR, because he knew if you got mad, you'd just go to one of his other stations. So he really didn't care. So this woman was like, and it wasn't my brother, it was another one of them, told her to, you know, you need to shut the fuck up and get the hell out of here. And she's like, I'm going to speak to your manager. And da, 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 da. So the manager comes out and he's like, what's going on? And she's like, your gas attendant just said this and all. And he's like, I can fix this right now. You need to shut the hell up and get the fuck out of here.
Oh, that's great.
That's Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
It's that
grew up in Jersey and now I'm in Delco. So it's
the northeastern quadrant just kind of breeds a specific kind of people that
and we bust balls because we love you. Like that's you know, that's how we show love.
So. If someone is, like I just said, if someone is always nice to you, they don't like you. They're being polite. You like them because they're polite. Yeah. You don't want to hear what that person they're talking to at your job knows what they said about you.
Right.
Like, oh my God, that guy is such a fucking dick.
Yep.
So there is that kind of pettiness there. But overall, I mean, sometimes it's deserved.
And you know you've made it if you have a nickname. Like, everybody that you're talking shit on gets a nickname. Like, when I used to bartend, me and this other bartender, the same guy would come in all the time. He was a pain in the ass. So we'd always card him, even though we knew he was old enough, because he lived around the block. So he'd have to walk home to get his license and come back every time. Like, dude, you know we're going to card you. But it turned into this game. And she's like, yeah, you'd think he would be like psychic by now and know it. I said, no, he's Nostradamus. Like, he doesn't understand. He can't predict this. So he was Nostradamus for like years. That was his nickname.
Yeah.
And it was because, you know.
Those nicknames will really fucking stick, because there's this one nickname. It can't leave my head as much as I've tried. But old man Walt gave me the best advice I ever got. I was working at a Kia dealer. And he goes, you see that guy? You want to be that guy? Find something you love to do and do it. He said, you know why I work here? Because I'm bored. I was like,
okay.
He showed me a picture of his basement. So like, let me show you a picture of my basement. His entire basement around the perimeter and in the center are filled with rare arcade machines. He said, one of those machines on any given day can go for 12 grand. I fix them up and I sell them. Find something you love to do and do it. Otherwise, you're going to turn into that guy. fucking love old man Walt. Gave me that nice bit of information, but he also gave me the best goddamn. This nickname was so fucking good. It was this tech who every goddamn car he worked on needed struts. Everything needed a fucking strut. So he called him Bagowitz.
Bagowitz.
And then the Cage the Elephant song came on of No Rest for the Wicked. Mm-hmm. And he would say, he's Bagowitz. And he would just parody the song to where the song still echoes in my head. But that nickname, and I can still see that guy's face in there. That nickname really solidifies a person that...
Absolutely.
You're like, oh my God, Bagowitz. Fucking remember you, bro. Bagowitz. But you're like, oh, hey, man, what's going on? We work back at Kia together. You'll fucking never remember him as anything else other than Bagowitz.
Yep. Those nicknames can haunt you forever. Yeah, I think about Big Bang Theory when Howard wanted to be Rocket Man, but then the other astronauts heard him talking about Fruit Loops, so they named him Fruit Loops. And he was like, no, I'm Rocket Man. They're like, whatever, Fruit Loops.
A nickname will definitely haunt you. It'll definitely haunt
Absolutely.
You. But
it's funny because in the book I talk about names, because in the one bar where I worked, where I love dive bars, because when you work in a dive bar and you have teeth, you are like a fucking goddess. You know, like you are automatically top bill because of the environment. So I love me some dive bars. And that's the way that this bar was. If there was an ass in every bar stool, you might have had a full set of teeth. Love these guys. And so it was Sydney, and then there was Cindy, and then there was Cynthia, and then there was Sadie. And the DJ sounded like he had like marbles in his mouth, and he'd be like, Sydney, and I'd go up. He's like, I said Cindy. I'm like, I thought you said Sydney, you know. And then it's just Sadie, and I go, I said Sadie. I'm like, enunciate your words. So I finally was like, fuck it, call me Bob. I'm like, and then I'll know you're talking to me. So for like a month, it's, and up next is the very sexy Bob, and I would go on stage. So there's probably guys to this day that call me Bob, because I couldn't figure out if he was talking to me or Cindy or Sadie or Cynthia. So I was like, you know what? Whatever. I'll be Bob.
Bob. Yeah, I'll be Bob. Yep. It's fine. Hey, Bob. Yo. Yo. Yeah.
Bob. There's worse. I've been called much worse things than Bob.
Well, yeah. I'm still known by a select few in the automotive industry as Billy Amps.
Billy Amps. Is that the stereo side there?
No, that was, I was going to school at ATC for auto collision repair with my friend Moy. And before I literally signed up for the school, and they had this thing for the guy, for the guys that were going there already, that list five of your friends and their phone numbers, and you may win tickets to the auto show. VIP tickets. Oh my God. So nice. He lists my name as well as one of our friends' names. But with, well, my phone number and one of our friends. So with my name, he wrote the name Billy Amps because he thought it was a funny name.
Right.
So he wins. He gets auto show tickets. And he tells me the story. Like, oh my God. So now all these guys who knew I was going to be going there, they kept referring to me as Billy Amps. So for my entire time at ATC, I was Billy Amps. And it extended out into the automotive world to where the other friend who my buddy boy mentioned, he got a phone call, and you know, they were like, hey, you know, we want you to come in and check out the school, blah, blah, blah. You were referred by your friend Moy. Hey, do you know this guy, Bill Yams? And he laughs because we told him the story. And the guy, and he realizes like, this guy's serious on the other side of the phone. And he goes, and he's, right. Yeah, you know, I think he works at UPS or something. It's like, does he have a, did he graduate from high school? Does he have a degree? He's like, I don't know. So already this character is alive.
Right.
So my friend, because we're going to ATC, he makes his Twitter handle at Billy Amps. So we're hanging out, we're going around McDonald's, and he starts cracking the fuck up. And I'm like, what? He goes, look at this message I just got on Twitter. Look at it, and it's this person who messaged, why do you have my name? There was a real Bill Yams. So then I changed my Twitter to at the real Bill Yams. And it was like that for years, because I just don't go on Twitter or X or whatever it is. Like, right. It was, I switched it over to something like PJ and WH Madman or something, but I was the real Bill Yams on Twitter for years. So this fake name, and then I'm in these auto dealership jobs, and they're like, Bill? Yams? Like, yo, what's going on? You know, why did he call you Bill Yams? So I started calling it the legend of Bill Yams.
There you go.
So
that's a great look. Great tale there.
You know, I mean, that's also the beauty of podcasting, is I've forgotten about like half of these stories because of life in my normal day to day. And that's one of the things that's beautiful about this form, is that it brings out the best in you, because you're remembering all these great times, all this stuff. And then somebody else like you, oh, I had this time. And you connect on a level that people don't see on other formats. It's people actually having a normal conversation, where some guests, when I have them on, they're like, you know, I've never done a podcast before. Do you need anything? Like, dude, it's a conversation. It's me, you, and Frank. That's it. It's where that's what I try to keep it as. I don't try to do, there's a lot of different people who have, you know, different shticks or gimmicks on podcasts, which is fine. It works for them. But on this one, this is a soapbox. So I try to keep it like that.
Yep. And that's how I came across when I did my interview, when she was like, well, how do you do it? I'm like, well, you're popping my cherry, so we're going to see how I do it. I've never done this before. But I said, I just figured we'll have a conversation. Like, give me any points that I can help promote you, like, you know, steer me in the right direction to do that. Learningogo.com. But aside from that, you know, like, we're just going to talk, you know, and I'm laughing because you're talking about nicknames. And now I'm thinking of all of these people I haven't thought of. Like you said, there's this kid we called Pliers for like really horrible reasons. And like, I'm like, I wonder what Pliers is up to. I haven't thought of him in a million years. And then my brother had another friend whose mom they just called Moo. And I'm just like, I wonder what Moo's up to. But his friend, I remember because we used to tell really bad pickup lines. And the one was, you know, do you like apples? I'm going to fuck you tonight. How you like them apples? And I'm like, don't say that, you know. And his friend could never get it. And he's like, do you like broccoli? Let's fuck. I'm like, that's not how it works. Like, that's not. You don't understand them. You know. So I just was thinking of him. And he had a nickname, too. And I can't think of it right now. And it's bugging me.
I hope it's like, broccoli.
Yeah. But it was something. I feel like it had something to do with cereal, and I don't remember now. But it's just funny the things you remember. Oh,
man. That, like, yeah, that is good.
I was back in high school. Yeah.
That is so good. But we do want – we know where people can hunt you, and it's right on your podcast, the podcast yes. Learned in a Go-Go. And they can also find your book in the parking lot. No, but they can find you and get your book. I mean – you're available on Amazon.
It's a store. Pop that trunk. Books available. Stand in front.
Yes, I have books. I have bookmarks. If you buy a personalized copy from me off of my website, learningogo.com, you get the personalized copy. You get the bookmark. You also get a free companion playlist, which is all songs that I mention in the books, songs I used to dance to, and now I've been adding ones that I like to use on Thursdays as well. So a little just like, thank you. And if you're in the U.S., you get free shipping. I learned the hard way not to offer free shipping to everyone.
Yeah, that's a rough one. That's a rough lesson to learn. I suggested that in my old company because we had merchandise. And I was just like, why not do it everywhere? He was like, no, U.S., no Alaska, no Hawaii, continental U.S., that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. When you're selling a book for $20 and you're paying $30 to ship it, that's not good business.
No.
It took me 4 years to write it. I'd like to, you know.
Absolutely. Put your time and effort into it, so there is a value to it. And not going over and above to put you in the hole is how you keep going forward. So it's smart business practice.
Yep. And I, you know, like I spent the first year trying to get it out there and now I'm finally starting to get traction. Cause like you said, it's not with the podcast. It's not, I'm going to have a podcast and now I have a million people. Like it doesn't work that way. And I'm just having fun with it.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, and everybody that's coming along for the ride, I appreciate so much. Like keep showing up and listening. It's going to be a good time. Might be ridiculous. You might learn something. You never know.
You never know who you're going to learn a lesson off of, because my dad told me a long time ago, it's good to learn from your own mistakes, but it's better to learn from the mistakes of others.
Somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I got fucked up. There you go. I shouldn't do that. That doesn't look fun.
No, definitely like be very, you know, looking around and taking what's going on around you, because there's all kinds of things to learn from. Absolutely. And it's also fun to be a shenanigator. I love inciting shenanigans. That's like one of my favorite things to do. So.
100%. You know, you got to have fun.
Why not?
Exactly. Life's too short to be miserable.
It is. It is too short. But a lot of people, they just get hung up in their own day to day. I think that you get into a swirl. Even I've gotten there. Like, even through podcasting, there are highs and lows, you know, and it's very easy to just get soaked up in your own troubles and wallow in wallow in things. But I've been fortunate to have people that I can reach out to help pull me out of that slump. Like, hey, man.
Absolutely.
This ain't you.
Community is very important. And the people that you surround yourself with are the people that are going to have the most influence on you. So if your circle doesn't have your back, you need a new circle.
Absolutely.
You know, and a lot of us hold on to people. I was talking about this on my positive affirmation this morning, just because they've been there. But, you know, you can't hoard people. Like, you know, you don't have to hold up. Well, I've known them since, and that's great, and be very appreciative for the time that you had. But if they're now becoming a negative influence, you can't just keep them around because they've been there.
You know, realizing,
I don't wear my Garanimals because I've had them since 76.
It's realizing that some of those friends might have been toxic. They might not have made that. Maybe they have grown toxic. They're not the same person that you know, and they've let life corrupt them in a way that, you know, I try to keep myself positive and be overall an optimist, because, you know, it's real easy to focus on the negative, but to find a good thing, to pull yourself out of even like a bad thought, a bad day. Was it a bad day? Well, it's actually maybe like 5 minutes, 10 minutes throughout the day. Then realizing, like, all right, well, I just got to let that go. It's like emptying the recycling bin folder on your computer. Like, get rid of that shit.
Oh, and it comes to the point where, like, you know, I'm a big helper. I call it broken wing syndrome. I'm always trying to fix the hurt bird, you know. But I liken it to, if you turn the corner in your house every day and you walk into a brick wall, like, how many times are you going to keep doing that before you realize that it hurts you to keep doing that same activity? Like, not everyone is in a position where they're open to being helped.
I don't know. About 3-4 more attempts, I'll let you know if it works.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this time, now that I have no skin on my nose, I'm going to keep walking, you know. So it comes to that point. And I hate, like, getting to that point where it's just like, because I want to help everybody. I want everybody to be growing and, you know, like, positive. But not everybody's in a space to be that way. So
you can't fix every car. Yeah. You can't fix every car.
I like that. I like that.
You know, because
sometimes it's not the distributor cap.
It's not. I often liken life to a highway. You know,
you want to ride it all night long?
You're a car. Frank's a car. I'm a car. We're driving down the highway. Gonna pop off at an exit. There's gonna be somebody on the side of the road with a flat tire, or heaven forbid, you know, a blown engine. But you have people in the right lane, in the Ferrari, in the left lane, zooming by. Hopefully not the right lane, zooming by. And absolutely not the shoulder when I'm around. But everybody is in a different car. Realizing that is the flow of life helps.
Yep.
The windshield is bigger than the rear view for a reason. You have to focus on where you're going. You have to maintain the car so you can keep driving down the road. It's a really great metaphor. You can almost have like a full podcast just on it.
There you go. That's true. Yep, and you got to learn when you need maintenance to keep going.
Absolutely. Mental health is a very, very important thing that I think a lot of people are starting to wake up to in this country, especially with just, you know, the past guests that I've had on, you know, from paratroopers to, you know, James Stokes, who was EMT. You know, there's a lot of people who are in these trenches and they're in these bad situations. Extending out a passion whenever they have time, because those jobs are really, you know, kind of intensive, especially paratrooping. Yep. I don't think you have much time for knitting. Jumping out of
that
plane.
Would be safe. Yeah. But I honestly, like, I think that mental health should be like the same as physical health. You should get checkups. You should have, you know, it shouldn't be like, why should that be in a lesser category? It's in a lot of ways even more important, because when you neglect your mental health, it starts to take a physical toll on you as well. I talk very openly about my depression, about my anxiety. And the depression started when I was about 12. The anxiety's new, you know, like, let's jump on too. That'll be fun, you know. So I've been like learning with ways to deal with that.
Anxiety and, has added itself to your cart. Oh, thank you, anxiety.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, is this it? No, back pain. Okay, let's. What else can we get in? You know.
Yeah,
but
you
know what? It's better than the alternative. I'm still above ground, so I'll take it.
Yeah.
But I tell this story. I had a therapist that I loved. His name was John. He was this pop-up. But he would call me on my bullshit, you know, and that's what I need. I don't need a there. It'll be okay. I need, you know, you're full of shit and this is why, and this is what you need to do. And I loved him for that, because that was the approach that I needed. And then one day I got a call, you know, and they're like, oh, we're calling about your appointment with John. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, I call back. I'm like, hi, I have an appointment with John tomorrow. And they're like, oh, he passed away. And I'm like, do you know what the worst thing for your depression is when your therapist dies? Like, that was horrible. And I was never
able to chalk that up to a loss. Yeah, in the loss column. Yeah, there. I'm like,
he didn't want to see you so bad. No.
It's just like, oh, what's wrong with you? Go talk to a therapist. He died. Like, oh, Jesus. Exactly. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And then they gave me the there lady, and it just wasn't a good match. Yeah. But it's important to take the time to find someone who is a good match, because it's not always well, I called and I tried to get a therapist and I didn't like them, so I didn't call again. No, you got to keep trying. I've had physical doctors that aren't a good match. So it's important, we're all worth taking the time to find good people to help us to be our best. Yeah. So
100%. This has been about this has been about as positive a podcast as I was chalking it up to. So right on par, positivity wise, We're good.
That's good. Excellent. Yeah. My cards I use in the morning, they're called affirmators, and they're like little cartoons with the message, and they're really funny. And a Facebook friend I've never met in real life gifted them to me. She mailed them to me. Awesome. She was just like, I think you would like these. And so I'm always like, and these are affirmators. I have no affiliation. If you'd like an affiliation, please reach out. Affirmator people, but it's like, I just think they're fun. And I like to share things that have helped me. So that's how I go about my life.
Well, nice. With, like I mentioned before, the normal toxicity and just clickbait to make you angry that you see on social media, it's important to follow and have people who are going to put that positive message out there. So your feed is not just, well, when is China attacking? What's Russia doing? It's not doom and gloom. It's, maybe I should take some time, Get out in the sun.
Yes.
Rays hit your skin. Get some sun rays, people. You don't have to pop vitamin D. Get out there. Enjoy the fucking sun, not melanoma level.
Safely enjoy.
Skin cancer is still not sexy.
No. Not really. But I purposefully have made sure my news feeds and of course, if I'm having a actual I'm going to talk without crying. So I actually have an Instagram that is just for my pets. I have two labs. And then until the 13th, I had a guinea pig named Stanton Amadeus Fluffernutter. And he was awesome, but he passed away. And so, I posted about that because I posted about him all the time. Mm-hmm. So people knew, and the amount of people that reached out to me about my guinea pig, and people go, that's a guinea pig. No, he was fucking awesome. And I used to dress him up in costumes and he put up with my shenanigans and he was amazing. And he was like a little star on my newsfeed. And I like to share happy pet things. I'm the mom of dad jokes. I freaking love a good dad joke. I post them all the time. I post like I said, every morning is a happy cartoon, a positive affirmation. Like my social media is a happy place. So at Learned and Go-Go on Instagram and on Facebook. I did change it on Facebook too. To get that positivity. And if you're having a bad day, reach out to me. If you need somebody to talk to, reach out to me. I'm hearing impaired in one ear, the other one works. I'm happy to listen.
That's big for people, especially they can hop over to Instagram, they can follow you on Facebook, and they can get to know you and especially get all the positive vibes from you. And that's very important, especially in people's day to day. And one of the biggest things I'm very happy I was right on. There's a feel you get after a decade of podcasting for people. And I'm glad to, still on check. I'm good.
Well, thank you.
It's been an absolute blast having you on, and I can't wait to see you in April at the Media Comic Con. You can walk up and call me Frank Percy if you want to.
I'm calling you Billy Yams.
Billy Yams. Use...
Perfect. Oh, yeah. Perfect. Yeah. I have my pen.
Absolutely. There you go. No, but I'm really excited that you invited me to come on here, because this has been a lot of fun.
It was so wonderful having you. Absolutely. Just please, if you have something that you're doing, let us know. We'll have you back.
Love to have you back home.
Yeah, anytime. Anytime you need like dad jokes or, you know, whatever.
I'm the king of corny myself, so, you know. I think I'm good on the corny jokes, but, you know, when we have you back on, we'll have to have a dad joke off.
Okay. There you go. Because that sounded a little.
I know.
We're going to do a what?
I was like, you know what you said? And I was like, yeah, but it's funny sounding. So it's going to work out. It's fine. I'm like, are you sure? It's like, dude, it's going to work out. All in a fraction of a second. Right on
the edge so hard.
There you go. You just like.
I got to throw a joke out like there at least one a podcast. I was watching the James Stokes one and Mike and James's face. When I can't help myself. Sometimes I just have to make a joke. And everybody else is like, wow. And I'm like, yeah. It's for me. It's not for you. It's for me. That joke was just for me because I was going for that right there. I wanted that reaction. Sometimes dark humor, it's just for the person telling the joke. I'm sorry. I'm selfish sometimes. That's me time. You guys, you guys just experienced me time.
Taking care of your mental health there. It's all good.
The dad joke competition will. Frank called me a wordsmith. I get there eventually.
Yeah.
But the friend,
there you go.
The dad joke competition will be on the next Tales that we have to talk with you. And hopefully it is to announce your audiobook that you read yourself.
Yes. I want to work on that when I am not froggy anymore. Absolutely. So.
I mean, you have the recording equipment. It makes sense. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'll pop over to the trunk of your car during the Media Comic Con.
There you go. I'll get like one of those Newsies bags and I'll just like bring a bunch with me too. Like
Jabbar Brown. He grabs a backpack, tosses his comics in there. He does the same kind of guerrilla marketing. Sometimes it's what you need to do.
You guys know, like, I don't shut up, so my book is beefy, like, because I have a lot to say. So I think, that would probably add to my back problems with a big old backpack of them. But we'll see.
Hey, can
do it for the art.
I need a joke real quick before I end off this podcast. Can you give me that thing you just got? So hopefully, I'm imagining, and Big Brother.
Lift with your legs, not your back.
Big Brother, producer of the show. This is a comic compendium he just got, Frank. My brother.
Wow.
Compendium 1.
That's good. And I'm glad your book is bigger than mine. So I hope that helps.
I have a feeling that you will get.
Touche. There you go.
Very good. But I feel you will get your book or have at least several books. Like, this is actually a lot of fucking goddamn comics. This is like a person's lifetime of work. So I feel in your lifetime, you're going to get this thick of a book after looking at the size of that book. Just after 4 years, it's that thick? Dude.
That's just the first one.
I couldn't even get close to that. Nowhere close.
Well, the
That's
thing
a
is,
lot
I do have another book project in mind, so I can come back on when that happens as well, which is going to be a children's series because we go from stripping to kids' books, because why not? But it's going to be
that's a logical
Amadeus Fluffernutter. So
love it. Love how you tie that in. That's beautiful.
Rest of all the things that you're doing, if you know, you want to come on because you got something to promote or you got something, you know, you want to talk about, let us know.
That's why
I definitely will. Thank you, because this is awesome. I'm having so much fun.
Well, it has been a pleasure letting our fans know they have to hunt you and they can see you at the Great Media Comic Con. And
I will be there.
I love to end off this podcast the same goddamn way because we love you, we miss you, and we're going to see you next hunt. Until then, game on, boys and girls! Bye-bye!
Play on the dragon.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Been a blast.
Oh my God, I had so much fun. I didn't know when you started recording. I was like, oh shit, are we on? Like, there was no like, we're gonna record now.
No, right away. I get the natural in that just goes there, and then I have my sign off. That's I like it that way because it's a little flair. You know, I see, like, when I'm listening to podcasts, sometimes they have the natural in. Rogan likes to do that, a natural conversation in. I was like, I like that. But you know what? Like Preston and Steve, Preston ends every show off with Rage On.
Rage On. Yep. And I end all of mine with.
Not Rage On. It's not Ray and John. Although I thought that for fucking years. I was like, these guys must be really, really important. Like, Ray John. Boom. Them guys. No. You're going to find them.
Right. That's a weird
name. I was looking for this guy named Ray John, but I could not find him. He's not even on Facebook, so he's got to be old.
Well, I end every episode of mine with always take things in life head on, because if you stick your head in the sand, you might think you're hiding from the world, but the rest of the world just sees a big ass.
Love that. That's great.
That's my ending, you know, ostrich syndrome.
And I love to end with end credits too. So, you know, this will be a great podcast. Once I do get around to editing it, I got so much fucking shit to do, but I expedite shit. I'm definitely going to be getting to yours as quickly as I can. I'm trying to give myself a break to edit everything I have, but more guests keep goddamn contacting me. And I'm like, Frank, we're going to do it. And he's like, okay. So it comes out of time. And it's good problems to have, but that's where a little bit of my anxiety comes from, because I'm like, I need to put it out. It will come out. I will link you to the episode so you can definitely promote it, because I loved having you on.
Thank you.
It was an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, this is awesome. Yeah, and like I said, anytime, you know, like, see if they're – we want to talk about this. Do you know anything about it? If I do, I'll come on and talk about it. I don't care. I'm just enjoying this ride, so.
I'll reach out. Absolutely.
Cool. And I can't wait to see you guys at the con.
We'll see you then.
April.
Yeah, I was there last year, too, so.
Okay. I was at the front. I was at the front desk checking in people dressed as a Jedi with a fedora.
I was there with two of my kids and my nephew. So we came, and
that's probably
just,
why
you know,
look
was,
familiar.
Yeah,
being in service, I remember
faces.
Too.
Parker Posey.
Well, I remember faces because I'm horrible with names, and I'll go, "Hey, how are you?" That was like half my career in the auto industry.
Yeah.
Just like. Those, you know, not very specific words that you can use to just let people know, like, hey, I remember you.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. And like, retired Wonder Woman just made my whole freaking day. Like, she was a trip. Dude. And then I wound up seeing her at Rocky Horror. Like, she was two rows ahead of me, and I'm like smacking my brother. I'm like, I know that wig. I'm like, that's retired Wonder Woman. And then it came to Great Scott, and I threw the toilet paper, and like, I'm not athletic at all. I clocked her right in the back of the head. I was like, oh my God. But the wig was so big, I don't even think she noticed.
Block it. She didn't block it instinctively.
Boom, right in the back of the head.
No, she's retired. She's She's retired.
Yeah. It's still there. Reflexes are still going there. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. But when we were leaving, I said hi to her. I'm like, I met you at Media Comic Con. And then she just turned on Wonder Woman, you know, like right away. I got into character.
It's odd how because I saw her out of character and in character. And I'm like, my God, she is brilliant. Brilliant.
Well, that's what was funny when I met Ed Kowalczyk. I have had to cough for like an hour. Hold on. Excuse me. I gave him a book and I went to the table where his friends were sitting. And the one woman was asking me about it. And then there was a guy there. And he's like, those books are a dime a dozen. I'm like, how can you say that if you haven't read it? He's like, I'm never going to read it. And I like turned Sydney on like that. I went, I know, honey. It's so many words and no pictures. And like, he wound up buying the other copy I had on me.
There you go. She made him buy.
Because I just like, I was like back in the club dealing with them. You know, I was just like, boom. It was so funny.
Crowd work. Yeah. It's important to have crowd work when you're doing sales, because then that dismissiveness turns into, oh, shit. All right. I'll just buy it. You get people with that. So you got a smart sales sense. And I definitely know we're going to have you back on. And it's going to be a blast then, too.
Because I talk about that in the book, too, like how I tried to do the sexy thing and I cracked up because I knew I was full of shit. And I just like laugh in people's faces and they'd be very confused. So I was just myself and I would do like ventriloquist boobs, you know, like, don't you want to give me a dollar? You know, and like they'd just crack up.
That's
and
hilarious.
Like I'd make more money being a complete dumbass, you know, like, than I would if I tried to be like, all, I'm like, yeah, come on in the back with me. We're going to have a good time. It might not be sexy, but you're never going to forget this freaking lap dance. Like, you know, I was like, you know, like having a good old time. So you don't have to follow everybody else's rules to be successful.
That's true. That's true. Perfect way to end off the end credits.
There you go.
All right, Sydney, until the next Tales.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a great night. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye.